We're continuing with our series on Where is God from the book of Ruth. It's on page 256 if you want to read along with me. Ruth 2, beginning at verse 4 on page 256. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have reassured and spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." If you've been with us for the last several weeks and you've watched the unfolding story about Ruth, then I think this passage will make sense. You know, it kind of flows and fits with where we've been going. If you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we can look at these verses, but I don't know that in and of themselves they really say a whole lot. It seems to me that what we've read is that there's this woman, Ruth. She comes along, she's gleaning in a field. That means she's going and picking up any leftover grain or any of the grain crop that the harvesters had missed. A guy called Boaz comes along, he asks about her, then he tells her to stay in the field and says, "Look, if you're ever thirsty, go help yourself to a glass of water." She says, "Thanks very much." The end. I mean, is that a reasonable summary? And so you kind of say, taken in splendid isolation, I don't know if these verses are going to be particularly revealing. I don't know how many of you have memory verses, but I would confess that these don't feature in my memory verses. But with the challenge of looking at these verses from Scripture, I began to get a sense that maybe that they are going to help us. They certainly helped me to explore a central question, if not the central question, about our Christian faith. And that question is this: do I trust God? Do I really trust Jesus Christ? Now, I suspect that most of you would say to me, "James, come on, don't be daft. Of course I trust Jesus." And I'd have to say that's the answer I'd expect, and that's really awesome. But I have to ask the question, it's one thing to talk the talk, it's quite another, isn't it, to walk the walk? It's one thing to say it, it's quite another thing to do it. And I wonder, do our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our behavior, do they serve as an affirmation of the fact that we totally trust Jesus? Maybe we trust Jesus in some things, and we're not so good about trusting him in other things. I think obviously it's going to be a lot harder to trust the Lord when things ain't going real well, right? Do you trust Jesus when prayers go unanswered? Do you trust him when healing just doesn't come? How about the time when the job that you longed for just doesn't materialize? And I don't know about you, but there are times like that where doubts begin to cross my mind. I have to say, and I confess before you, there are times when I find my faith and my trust wavering a bit, and I find myself saying, God, where are you? Why don't you do something? Now, if you've never felt that way, I am super impressed, and I have to say I'm more than just a little bit jealous of that. But if on the off chance that you've ever felt like I feel, which is I'd love to trust the Lord completely, but there are times when I struggle with that, well, if that's you, then I'm going to invite you to just join me for a few minutes on a little bit of a journey together. And so if that's you and you're sort of saying, how is it that I can fully and totally trust the Lord? Well, maybe there are some ways in which we can come about resolution to that kind of question. And so it seems to me that one of the tacks we can take is that we grit our teeth, we grin and bear it, and we press on. That's it. You know, you just get on with it. I suppose one of the other solutions is to say, that's all part of the faith walk. It's okay to be disappointed with God. Doubt is part of the whole process. You say, well, that's one way of addressing it. But I'm going to just offer another possible suggestion. And it's this. Why don't we move to the place where no matter what, we are certain that God is actually with us? What if we were to accept that as the absolute, indisputable truth that it is? Jesus said to us, I am with you always. I am with you always. And isn't it about time that we took him at his word? I mean, Jesus wouldn't lie to us. And if he's with us always, then it seems to me that we can trust him with the big things and also the little things. And friends, what I mean by the little things is also the day-to-day, the mundane, the going about living our day-to-day lives. And it seems to me that every day God calls us, right, to get out of bed, to face another 24 hours, to commute, to go to work, to look after our family, whatever it is, to go about that daily routine. And while we're doing it, he asks, do you trust that I have everything under control, even when it may seem that I've been silent? And as we go about the ordinary, everyday lives that we lead, can we trust God that there really is some purpose? Can we trust God that he has a purpose and a meaning for what might seem like a fairly routine day-to-day existence? Days when, like Ruth, it seems that we're simply going about the task of gathering just enough grain to survive for another day. Do we trust God is using these experiences for any greater purpose? I don't know about you guys, but if you're working day to day on the third floor of an office building on, I don't know, Fenchurch Street at a workstation, going through that grind every day, you might say, God, I really wish I could sense some greater purpose to this. So when we're getting on with the job, when we are laboring in the field and wondering about our purpose, I do think that the question that we need to ask ourselves once again is whether or not we trust that Jesus is with us always and whether he knows what is best for us. Do we honestly believe, if we ask this question, do we honestly believe that we or somebody else has a better plan for our lives than the plan that Jesus has for our lives? Now, I understand that we might struggle to trust anyone with that plan, and dare I say it, including Jesus, if we don't think that they are qualified, if they're sufficiently qualified. Do they have the skills? Do they have the knowledge? I mean, we can't really expect Jesus to take care of our lives and have the perfect plan if we don't think he's competent. So let's just stop and think about that for a moment. Is that what we're saying? Think about this. Are we saying we don't fully trust Jesus because he's incompetent? Because when you think about it, when you really think about it, can we seriously imagine that Jesus is the creator of all things, but he isn't very smart? If we accept that Jesus is divine, would that same Jesus be, I don't know, would he be dumb or inept? And yet I'm the guy who keeps on thinking I have a better plan than him. How is it that we can take Jesus to be the Lord and all that that entails, and yet somehow not be able to trust him to be the best informed and the most intelligent person who ever lived, the one who does have that perfect plan for our lives? Now, earlier in the story of Ruth, we read that she accepted God for who he is. She said to Naomi, "Your God will be my God." And with that, she followed Naomi into an unknown land with an unknown future, trusting but not fully knowing God's perfect plan for her life. Now, guys, I hope this isn't going to come across as a huge plot spoiler, but God's plan for Ruth would actually prove to be so much beyond anything that she could have possibly imagined day to day as she toiled in that field. And so I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to leave you with two things, and you don't have to write it down, but please try to remember this, okay? Two things I want you to go away with. The first thing, number one, please, can we together move to that place where we accept the absolute truth that Jesus is always with us? No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, he is always with us. That's number one. That's a truth. I am always with you, he tells us. And number two, let's embrace the truth that not only is he always present, and I'll just digress here. Can I say, I wasn't sure about this talk today, but the song that we sang just before I got up here, it talked about his constant presence. You are always with us. What an affirmation. But anyway, I digress. So he's with us, and let's accept the truth that the Creator, he's also the author of the perfect plan for our lives, and he is in control of that plan. And if we allow ourselves to go to that place of absolute truth, where we do trust Jesus, then day to day, we will find the peace and the purpose that we long for in every aspect of our lives, and that will all be according to his perfect plan for us. So what do you say? Should we do that? Should we go there together? I think it's been a great challenge for me, and boy, do I want to arrive in that place.